Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast, where every week we showcase incredible businesses in rural and northern Canada. Businesses that are not only growing, but are looking to hire.
We're here to show you companies and communities outside of the big cities that are building stronger and more inclusive workplaces. Workplaces that want and are encouraging newcomers, immigrants, and refugees to work with them.
Let us be your guides to help you find the best places in Canada to not only immigrate, but build a career and settle.
I'm your host, Leah Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Lindsay Rubenek.
Join us as we learn about all of the amazing career opportunities in places that you may not have ever thought of moving.
Let's get started.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast. Today we have on Casey McCormick. She is the Economic Development Officer for Gateway Economic Development. She is located in Mooseman, Saskatchewan. And I'm very happy to have her because this is our first Saskatchewan episode. So welcome, Casey.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We'll start off just by talking a little bit about yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about you, what you do? You know, did you grow up in Mooseman? Sort of how did you started living in rural?
I was born and raised in Mooseman. I actually went to elementary school, high school here. And then when I graduated high school, I did a year in Saskatoon. Didn't really enjoy living in the city very much. And COVID hit quickly right after that. So I moved back home in with my parents in Mooseman. And I completed my Bachelor of Commerce degree online through Athabasca University. And I just loved living in Mooseman, being close to all of my family. And I'm not a big fan of bigger cities and the commute that it takes and all the people.
Yeah, I totally, Lindsay, I'm sure you're the same. We're kind of the same way.
Yes, we are.
So one of my questions was it part of your strategy? But it wasn't really initially, right? It was more of that you tried the city, you realized you love the rural living better. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And did you find, you know, obviously you grew up in Mooseman, you obviously had some contacts and connections. Did you find, you know, being an economic development officer, you know, that's a great job. Did you find just being in a rural area, there was a bit of a little less competition in terms of when you finished your degree and applying for positions?
Yeah. The way that I became the economic development officer is kind of an interesting story. So I graduated a semester early in December, and the town office was actually hiring for the assistant rec director position. The lady that was in that position was on a maternity leave. And so my family was good friends with the mayor. So the mayor asked me if that was something I wanted to do for 8 months. And I said, sure. So I started working here in January of 2022. And at that time, the current economic development officer was retiring, and they came to me and asked if it was something I wanted to do. And I said, I don't really know what economic development is, but we looked into it and I thought it was something that I would enjoy. So I took over part-time rec, part-time economic development, and then eventually they hired someone for the rec position and I switched over to full-time economic development, and it's been really fun to learn. And so I've been doing it for about 3 years now, and it's such an interesting job. You never know what you're going to do, and it's just very rewarding.
So Casey, can you expand on that? Because I'm an economic developer by training. That was my very first thing I did for my career. But when I say I'm an economic developer, a lot of people don't know what that is. Yes. And I know it's very hard to define, but in your own words, what are you tasked with doing for your community as an economic development officer or EDO?
Yeah, absolutely. I get that all the time. What is economic development? But economic development is everything, basically. So what I tell people my job is to grow Mooseman and this region and make it somewhere people want to live. So I work on anything from recreation, healthcare, education, immigration, entrepreneurship, anything like that, making Mooseman and Brokenville a better place to live and somewhere people want to live.
Well, that sounds pretty fun. Can I just jump right into it then? You hit on my other favorite word, which is immigration. So can you give us an example of what you mean when you talk about you've been tasked with, you know, growing your community and how you use immigration to do just that?
Yeah, we've worked quite a bit, especially with the Ukrainian community when the war was going on. I went to quite a few different job fairs to try and recruit some people to come live in Mooseman, because we need people to do the jobs that are open. There's lots of open jobs. So we figured we would see if the Ukrainian community wanted to move to Moosomin, because we did already have one of our business owners. He owns a restaurant. He is Ukrainian. And so he was very involved in bringing Ukrainians over to Moosomin. And they kind of created their own little community. And the community of Moosomin really rallied around them. We found them apartments and furniture for those apartments and places to live and places to work. And they have their own little community right here in Moosomin.
That's awesome. So for someone who maybe has never heard of Moosomin, can you sort of describe where you're located? What is the size? That sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Moosomin's a community of a little over 3,000. We're right on the Manitoba-Saskatchewan border on the number one highway. And we have a trading radius of 100 kilometers with 50,000 people. So we've kind of become our own little hub, because we are 2 hours from Regina, 2 hours from Estevan, 2 hours from Yorkton, 2 hours from Brandon. There's no big city that's within an hour or whatever to us. So we have become the hub for this area of Southeast Saskatchewan.
And I just want to add too, there are, well, we were just talking about this before we recorded, there are so many jobs in that area of the sort of that Manitoba-Saskatchewan border, you know, between Moosomin and you go up north to Russell. It's only like an hour, and I think it's over 200 jobs, you know.
Yeah.
So tons of opportunities from entry level to professional for people. And like you said, I mean, 2 hours seems like a lot, but it's really not if you're going to go there for the day or for the weekend, you know. And there's, you know, yeah, you're really not that far. People will drive an hour in traffic. So what's, you know, 2 hours for the full day or exactly.
Absolutely.
So Casey, what kind of jobs are available in Moosomin and surrounding areas? So if I was a newcomer and I was looking for a community to relocate to, or even a city person that wants to move out of the city is looking for a rural area, a rural community, you know, obviously we need employment. So what type of jobs do you guys have available in your area?
Yeah, our big industries would be mining and agriculture. A Nutrien potash mine is located about 25 minutes north of Moosomin near Rokenville, and they employ over 800 people on that site. So that's a big one. There's also quite a bit of oil and gas around us, lots of agriculture, as I said, lots of family farms and that kind of thing. And then our retail is fairly big. We have a lot of different small to medium sized businesses. So there's many different retail jobs, car dealerships, fast food restaurants, shopping, any of that kind of stuff too.
So when we talk about Nutrien and they have 800 jobs or around there, we would be talking about various levels of jobs. We'd be talking about entry, professional, so the trades, they'd be hiring millwrights, electricians, mm-hmm. and then again, with management, like accounting, and even laborers as well, right? So that alone offers somebody a wide variety of jobs if they're looking at it. Does Nutrien, do you know offhand if they have their own job board or?
They post on their website, I know for sure. But yeah, they employ so many people there in every different kind of job you could basically imagine.
You know, being a smaller town, but like I said, you're a very large hub. If a newcomer was to move, you know, that's a lot of times the biggest challenge, especially right now with, you know, all the cuts to immigration and to immigration supports. What types of supports does the Moosomin area have, say, in terms of settlement services, of language? Are there programs or companies that are offering things, or can you elaborate on that a little bit?
That is one area where we struggle a little bit, but we are part of the East Central Newcomer Services for Saskatchewan, so they will help. They're located in Yorkton, so an hour and a half to 2 hours north of us. We do have an immigration consultant located right here in the community. She's just recently moved here. It's called Link Can Consulting. For language, we do have the Southeast College provides language services. We also have Service Canada is here every other week, so they can help a little bit. And just in terms of the community, like language services, I know when we were bringing in all the Ukrainians, there were a couple of companies that hired translators right on the job to work with them just to help with that language mm-hmm. barrier. So it is a very welcoming and open community to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's good to hear that there's, you know, companies, you know, it can be tough sometimes in smaller communities, right? You know, I hate to say, but a lot of times we get forgotten about, right? That money goes to the cities. And, you know, I think rural almost needs it more because you need different strategic supports. What works in a city won't necessarily work in rural, you know, they need different solutions. So it's great to hear that you've got stuff and you're kind of adapting, and no, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
So like kind of still sticking on that line, in terms of, you know, you guys are starting to become more aware that you need immigration support and services. So can you tell us a success story about, you know, someone maybe moving to your community and thriving and staying there?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say Moosman has a fairly large Filipino group, and I don't know, like, they've been here for quite a while, like even when I was going to high school, but I know there's one specific man, his name is Leo, and he moved, I don't even know when, quite a while ago. He started his own business. It's an apparel business. And then he kind of leads the Filipino community. They've become even more integrated. They just recently started building a big basketball court with the whole community, because I know basketball is a big thing in the Philippines. And now we have, I believe it's 300 to 400 Filipinos right in Moosman.
Well, that's excellent, because, you know, what just happened there in terms of economic development and community development was, you know, you have people that are moving into your community, and then they're also helping the community thrive, you know, in terms of creating, like, doing their own base, like basketball yeah. court. Like, that mm-hmm. is incredible
yeah.
in itself, right? And so to also make the community, the larger community, aware of the Filipinos' passion for that sport. And, you know, maybe the local community can learn some tips and tricks from them. So Absolutely. That's a really, really great story. I like that one. That's
yeah. Cool.
And I have to say, I love it too, because I always laugh because I have three boys and I live in a small town. And I say, I think we're the only family in town that doesn't do hockey. We're not, but we do basketball. So I love it that there's more basketball coming into smaller towns, because I think a lot of times people think small towns and they just think hockey. And, yes. you know, everyone, there's so many kids who aren't into that, which is fine. So it's like, we need to have, you know, other options for kids to play sports and do stuff. So that's great to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting more of that opportunity. Yeah,
absolutely. Moosman is a big hockey town, but we kind of realized that not every kid wants to play hockey. So we started, there's basketball. And then a couple of years ago, I was actually pretty heavily involved with starting an art center in town. So now we have an art center where people that are more creative and like that kind of stuff can go there instead of going to play hockey or whatever.
So when somebody moves there, and so let's say, yeah, when whoever, it doesn't matter, moves there, is there a welcoming committee, or, you know, is there a place that someone can go where they can look up and say, okay, so, you know, where can I buy a house? Where can I find a job, or my spouse can find a job? What other things can we participate in? You know, what can we volunteer in? Is there a website or anything that people can go to?
Yeah, the moosman.com website has a lot of that information. I just worked on creating a resident guide for new people that move to town. And then just at the town office, the ladies in here are very helpful with whatever you're looking for, whether it's for jobs or housing or recreation, that kind of thing. They're very helpful with giving recommendations on that kind of stuff.
So to be clear, they won't find you a job, but they will help you do everything else once you do that yourself. Okay, that's awesome. That's great.
Well, I just add, we'll have all that for everyone in the links as well, so they can go directly to your site to see all that as well. And just to keep on that same line, Lindsay was talking about the housing. So you have some really cool initiatives going on in Moosman in terms of housing. Can you talk about that a bit more?
Yeah, I can. So back in 2023, I believe, Moosman was awarded with some money from the Housing Accelerator Fund, which is a federal grant from Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation. So we received just about $1 million from them. And so with that, we have a number of units that we have to hit by 2027. So we decided that it was kind of open-ended what we could do with the money. So we decided that every person that built a house in Moosman was going to receive $30,000 once their house was complete. And $30,000 for the first unit, and for any multi-unit stuff, you receive $30,000 for the first unit and $8,000 per unit after that. So we just had two 12-unit apartment buildings completed. So they received $214,000 from the town.
Wow. That's very, like, I love it. Like, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So would you say, are they all full now? What's the occupancy rate in those?
So they opened, I believe, a month ago, and they're over 3/4 full.
Oh, wow. So yeah, you got to get your foot in the door.
Yes. Yes. Housing is one of the biggest issues that we are struggling with right now. There's not enough places for people to live. So this grant was very helpful.
Mm-hmm. And on is it still moving? Like, are people still building, or have you sort of completed it, or it's still people still have opportunities to come and build?
Yeah, we still have quite a few spaces left in it. We had, so far we've had a 24-unit apartment building, a 6-unit, and then there's 3 houses that will be getting built. There's a duplex that's just about finished, and then we still have 12 more spaces left in that.
So someone could come, like, let's say I wanted to move to Mooseman tomorrow, I could come and build a house, and I could get $30,000 back on my house, what I've paid. Is that, am I hearing that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And even for those that are newcomers that may can't afford to build a house right off the, right off the start, but you did say though there are multi-units available. That, yes. Right? Okay. Crazy. So, and one more thing, I got to ask, where are you getting all these people to help build these houses? So there must be lots of job opportunities right there in terms of, like, you know, a carpenters, electricians, plumbers. Yeah. Yeah. So there's lots of local companies.
We do have one local company. And then the 24 unit came out of Brandon, Manitoba. That's actually something we're really needing. So if anyone out there wants to come start a construction company in Mooseman, that'd be great. our current home builder right now, he's booked up, I think, until 2027.
So that's a huge opportunity for a company, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, I think it also lends itself to, you know, when you look at rural communities and you talk about what is mostly needed there. And, you know, we need everything from doctors, lawyers, accountants, obviously, but as well as we need plumbers, electricians, we need all those tradespeople too. And the one wonderful thing about the trades is that you can earn while you learn. So you don't have to, you know, commit yourself to going to 4 years of college and then getting that opportunity. You could actually move to Mooseman if you found a position there and start working. And then kind of, you know, the way how apprenticeship works is then you put yourself through school for those 8 weeks a year. So it's really a great opportunity to actually move to your community and work, and they can go to, you know, school when they need to, right? So, yeah.
In terms of housing, because I always like to highlight too about how much more affordable living in rural areas is, you know, what would a house, let's say, you know, maybe a basic 3-bedroom house cost, or even do you know what the rent would be in Mooseman?
Yeah, I believe rent would be anywhere from $900 to $1,400 a month, depending on the size, 1-bedroom on the lower end and 3-bedroom on the higher end, obviously. Average housing price in Mooseman would probably be around $300,000. It's a little bit more expensive for a rural community, but you can just see that that's the demand for Mooseman right now.
Actually, I don't think that's expensive at all, because I'm just in the city of Edmonton, and, you know, those, I don't know how to say it, you know, articulately, but anyways, I was there, and there are lots of cookie cutter houses, mm-hmm. and the quality of the build just is not there. And they're paying now, I believe it's over $600,000 for those kind of houses. And you don't really get a backyard with it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think what you get for maybe $300,000 to $400,000 in Mooseman is a lot different than what you would get in a city. So if people can actually visualize a 3-bedroom bungalow, you know, with a big backyard, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about building a house. It's not, we aren't talking about houses side by side.
Yes.
Right. So we should clear that up.
Yes.
Yeah. And even in terms of rent, you know, I think of, gosh, I'm aging myself here, but 20 years ago, I was paying in downtown Winnipeg $800 for rent, you know, for like a 2-bed. So the fact that you can get a 1-bedroom for $900, you know, is to me great. You know, that's amazing. You know,
yeah,
go ahead.
I believe like those new apartments that I were talking about, they're 3-bedroom and I think they're $1,500 a month. So, and that's still a brand new build.
And you think of like when we talk about trades, you're getting the same pay in a rural area for trades, but yeah. Now your housing is so much more cheaper. You know, like it's just, to me, it's just, that's how you get started. You know, we always tell people, even if you just move rural for the first 3 to 5 years, you're going to be so much more ahead than if you just jumped in living in a city.
Absolutely.
And it's even very similar. So when we talk about immigration and we talk about if you grew up in Canada, what I am finding now as someone that does practice economic development is that I am finding that even those who may have grown up in the city and who are in their 20s, they're actually looking rural as a Canadian mm-hmm. because they can't afford those, you know, those houses that are, you know, being built even in the suburbs of Saskatchewan. Saskatoon or Edmonton, right? So they are looking rural. And so I don't think it really matters if you are a young Canadian or a new immigrant. I think that, you know, going rural is actually going to help you establish yourself, like Leah said, and really build you a great quality of life in the future.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, we don't want to obviously, I mean, I think living rural is great, but obviously there's for what some people might consider some challenges. So in your opinion, you know, what are some challenges that maybe rural areas face when it comes to attracting newcomers or maybe things that you've heard from newcomers say, you know, this wasn't something I expected living in rural, you know?
Yeah, I think like a lot of people think that there's nothing to do in a small town or different things are more expensive. Like our grocery prices are fairly expensive in Mooseman because we do only have one grocery store, so they have no competition. And so that's a little bit of a struggle. And then maybe just like, because it's a small town, everybody knowing your business is kind of what some people maybe would struggle with. I don't think it's that bad in Mooseman, but I can see how that would be a conception.
I would say as a parent, I love it. I love it when someone says, oh, hey, Leah, I saw your kid. And I'll say, oh, so where were you? You know?
Yeah.
But yes, I can see that sometimes.
Isn't that the truth, right? So it's a good thing and a bad thing in a way. It depends how you do it. But you know what? Going back to the grocery store, that could be actually be an opportunity, right? So a lot of times we that live in a small town, we say, oh, that's a struggle or that's a challenge. Where somebody listening right now might be wanting to open up a business.
Absolutely.
And they could say, you know what? Because I believe competition is a healthy thing. It's mm-hmm. a very healthy thing and it only helps the community grow. So if somebody's looking at, you know, wanting to open up a smaller grocery store, Mooseman may be the way to go. And do you guys have any business incentives or any business assistance if people are looking at wanting to establish a business in Mooseman or the surrounding area?
Yeah. Currently the town has 1 year of tax-free on new commercial builds. We're looking at maybe doing some more incentives into that. But then we also have the Community Builders Alliance, which I work with. And they're a nonprofit private group of business owners that will help invest in new businesses for people that are wanting to open a new business. They'll put together a group of investors to get you started. And they provide business assistance. I will help with new businesses, too. So there's quite a few things to help.
A lot of great supports, to get started. That's really great.
Yeah. So if somebody was interested or want to learn more about, not only moving and what you all have to offer in Mooseman, but if they were actually wanting to know what type of business opportunities there are, they could just contact you directly and, you know, you guys could have a discussion. Would that be a possibility?
Yeah, absolutely.
For everyone as well. We'll make sure to have Casey's information in there as well to if people want to contact, to ask more about that. Do you think, in your opinion, is there anything that rural communities could be doing better to attract people to move to their communities?
Probably working on, like for Mooseman, working on some of our immigration supports and our language services. I think we've started, but I think that there's a lot more we could do to help. And then just continuing to be that welcoming, opening community that wants to welcome these people.
Well, and I think you're in a great spot. I have a lot of family in Moose Jaw, so Mooseman's my stop. That co-op in Tim Hortons, you know. So I just think too, it's a great place. Just even where you are located, you're rural, but you're just like hop on the number one, and you can get to where you need to go. You know, when people look on a map, you'll see like it's right there, and you know, it isn't, you know, I mean, I know you said it's 2 hours of Brandon. I don't even know if it's, I mean, yeah, I guess it's like an hour and 45.
An hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah, hour and a half. Like, really, like, I went to Brandon University for a while, and there was people who would drive from, like, Verdun every day or further, yeah, you know, to go to school and stuff. Just, you know, it's just, it's such an easy place to access so many areas, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of, like, in terms of immigration support, like, Leah specializes in English language. So I think that's really highly needed. But in terms of, you know, having the community help with certain pathways, I think that's where it gets kind of tricky, unless you're a RCEP community, like a rural community immigration pilot, you know, but for a community to have to know all these different immigration pathways and so on and so forth, you know, I think independently people can find their way, you know, and how to land, but the settlement support services, I think, are very, very important. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about that in terms of education. And because Leah had brought that up about, you know, going to BU, Brandon University, if somebody had relocated there and they want to take, you know, some college classes and, you know, university, you mentioned you you didn't attend, but you took University of Athabasca online. What kind of local colleges are there around there?
So unfortunately, we do have the Southeast College, but they are leaving at the end of this month. They're done in Mooseman. So we've been in talks with them to hopefully maybe keep them here, but as of June 30th, I believe they're out of their building and gone out of Mooseman. They are still going to provide the English support just on an as-needed basis, just booking a boardroom or whatever to provide it. But like you said, there's lots of close-by schools. And then like I did, Athabasca University is completely online. I've never been to Athabasca, Alberta, but I fully went to school there. And I have a real Bachelor of Commerce degree from there. And then like Brandon University is an hour and a half away. I have a friend attending nursing school there right now. So, and she's home lots. So it's not the best, but it's easier than you think.
Well, and like you said, there's so many, I've actually taken some classes through Athabasca. They're great. There's nowadays, there's lots of online options that, and even like when Lindsay said too, if you're in trades, like, you know, you can go for a little bit and then come back and work, or you do part-time online, or you, like you said, you, it's 2 hours away. You could go to Regina or wherever and come home on the weekends and, you know, and a lot of, you know, I feel like, you know, even Regina is a lot more affordable than like Toronto or Vancouver. So, you know, you might still have to pay rent, but it's not going to be nearly as expensive. Mm-hmm. Do you find, and I always, like I said, just with my background with language development and stuff like that, are there any workplaces who hire a lot of newcomers and they have, is it a challenge to find those translators or to find the supports to help them grow with their companies? Or have you found they've kind of, the reason I ask that is I always like to bring this up. I always find there's a big sort of mind shift happening, I think, in Canada when people, with all these cuts happening with language, people are starting to realize that language is no longer an IRCC thing. It's more of a workforce development thing, right? Do you see that shift, or do you see workplaces sort of starting to realize, okay, maybe we need to offer this if we want our employees to stay?
Yeah, we definitely have seen that a little bit, especially with Vaterstad, which is out of Langbank, which is about 20 minutes from Mooseman. They hired quite a few Ukrainians, so then they hired a Ukrainian translator actually to help with that. Mm-hmm. A few other places, I think, have, they kind of help their employees try to learn English, that kind of thing, a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, I think definitely as more, as we need more people and we need more, I think that's definitely going to be more of a thing that, like you said, communities and businesses realize.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, even touch on that further, Leah, like, so let's have that conversation about English. And it really still is an IRCC thing, right? And it's going to become more of a community issue now that there's not enough federal support for that. So it's going to be, you know, passed down, or, you know, more, it's going to weigh heavily more on the employer and the community. And, but even people trying to, you know, immigrate into the country, you know, if they're here on an LMIA or somebody offers them a job, it just happened to me recently. And I told this client, I said, you know, the employer is asked, it says clearly in the LMIA that you must speak English, and they were fluent in English. And I said, but you got to prove that you can do this, right? So, you know, they asked the employer to write a letter saying, oh yeah, well, we did the whole interview in English so they can do that. I said, I don't think that's going to be enough. Like, I think you're definitely, well, I know, I didn't think, I said, you're going to have to prove that you know this and you should have to take your IELTS. And they didn't, and they got their application rejected. So I think like that's a really great point in saying that it's not, you know, the word thinking is the wrong word. It's more about, you know, we know that English or French is very, very important. And therefore, when you're going to immigrate here, and even when you land here, you're going to need to improve your English or French, because in order to, you know, move up in positions, you need to be able to, you know, converse and understand and so on and so forth. So I think, you know, it's always great to have a conversation on how important communication is, because it's truly important if you want to involve yourself in the community, in the workplace, but even to get started immigrating, right? It spans its way across everything that you do.
And I think too, you know, more and more, like you said, it's getting passed down. So I think it is going to become more of a actually economic development, more communities and more of that is going to have to sort of, I guess, I don't want to say shoulder the burden, but take that initiative, right? Take that opportunity to get the employees, you know, I'm not going to go into too much, but the company I work for, Engine, we had a report come out, and a really key statistic was 84% of people said they would stay with a workplace if that workplace offered language. And all I thought about was all those rural companies who are trying to retain employees. And then I think it was 85% that they would recommend that company if English was offered there to others. So I'm like, right there, there's your stats for you want to keep employees, you want to attract, offer something that's not being offered anywhere else right now in Canada, you know?
Yeah. So speaking of retention, Casey, how well have you guys think that you've done so far in terms of attracting and retaining people to your community in the last couple of years since you've been in your position?
I think we've done a pretty good job. We did work very hard on attracting, and most of the people that have moved into Mooseman, I believe, have stayed. We obviously don't keep everyone, but I think it's gone pretty well.
Well, and I think too, honestly, 2 to 5 years is a lot better than, you know, 6 months. You know, to me, that's, they're still settling, they're contributing, and they're maybe leaving, but they're saying that was a great place to get started, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe some of their family stays or comes back in 5 years because they really liked it, you know? Yeah.
Well, and I think the good jobs there too also lend itself, right? So if people are, you know, going there and then they're landing that job and then they're being promoted, I think that also lends itself to, you know, people wanting to stay and raise their family there too. So that's really good. What do you guys see in the future for Mooseman and the surrounding area? You had just told us before we started the recording that you created Gateway Economic Development. So who does that all involve?
So Gateway Economic Development includes the town of Mooseman, the RM of Mooseman, the town of Rokenville, the RM of Rokenville, and the Community Builders Alliance, which is that nonprofit group of business owners that I was talking about. So we just in March-ish, I think we combined with the town of Rokenville because they're only 20 minutes down the road from us and they have the big potash mine. And they were thinking about economic development. And our mayor especially is very big on economic development, and we're thinking like big picture. So eventually we'd like to combine with even more towns around us to just kind of make this entire region somewhere people want to live. Because when you're 20 minutes, half an hour from another town, it's a win-win for both towns when something happens there.
I just want to say that you just said 20 minutes or a half hour, right? So when you're in a city and you got to go to a medical appointment, you are probably going to, unless you live right by the hospital, like, you know, exceptions yeah. to every rule. But, you know, so if you got to go to a medical appointment, it doesn't matter when I'm in the city. Like, so I often go to the city of Winnipeg. So when I'm there and I'm staying at my daughter's place, you know, I'm automatically 20 to 30 minutes away from a lot of different things. So, and I think that's a misconception that a lot of people have about living in a rural town is that, oh, well, then I have to drive to go here or there. But the difference between our 20 or 30 minutes is that we have no red lights.
Yeah.
You just go. And you probably often get there faster than what you would in the city. And you don't get as frustrated because you're just straight there and you're at your point of your destination. So I think that's a really good point you just brought up, is that partnering with different communities offers a lot more services and you're still really close together. So it is a win-win.
Yeah, we really saw that with Rokenville, because Rokenville has an indoor pool that they're actually working on right now. It's supposed to open this fall. And so why would we build an indoor pool in Mooseman when you can go 20 minutes down the highway to Rokenville to that indoor pool? So we share that with them. We share, like, we have really good healthcare in Mooseman, so we'll share that with them, obviously.
That's a great, actually something to bring up. So are there lots of opportunities in healthcare in the region?
Yes, many, many, many. Mooseman is actually kind of an anomaly. We have 14 doctors in the community.
Wow. That is huge. Yeah.
Yeah. We are the smallest town in Saskatchewan that offers the residency program. So doctors can take their family residency right here in Mooseman. And we've had, I believe, two or three go through. Our first doctor that went through the residency program, she bought a house, moved her family here, and they live here full time now. So it's really, really cool. And we're always in need of more healthcare supports, more nurses and x-ray techs and that kind of stuff. We also have, you can do chemotherapy right here in Mooseman. And then we just recently built a long-term living facility here. So there's lots of opportunities in healthcare jobs here in Mooseman.
Okay, Leah, so we're going to link it or put in the show notes. Yeah, we'll, and then if too. People are looking for jobs, they can just hop on there, because regional health authorities, they hire themselves. They don't, nobody else hires for them. So you have to apply directly to the regional health authority. So that's a great idea.
One thing I would think I always like to highlight as well, and this is a question too, only because I see the challenges right now with people getting their licenses in Winnipeg and areas. How is it, obviously living in rural, you do need a license, right? There's no buses, you know, maybe taxis, but in terms of ease of getting that license, is it quite hard, or is it like a long wait time? Do you know, in terms of that, is it pretty?
I think it's fairly easy here in Mooseman. I know they do driver testing right here in Mooseman. Like, I took my driver's license in Mooseman. I think, I want to say they're here every month.
Okay. So it's quite steady then. Yes. Oh, that's good. And I guess too, when I'm thinking here, it's probably different because we're different provinces as well. But I mean, just a heads up to everyone too. I don't want to say it's easier in rural, but I think, you know, you don't have like a bunch of stoplights, like a large city, right? So
yeah, we have no stoplights in Mooseman at all.
My son just took his recently, and I was like, you had it so easy. Like, I was going on the highways and, you know.
Yeah, I had to parallel park behind one vehicle. There wasn't two.
So it's great for all those people I may not have driven before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's great, honestly, to gain your skills in a small town too, right? There's a lot of less pressure, you know, less cars. So I think it's actually not a bad thing too.
Yeah, they run our driver's ed for like the kids out of the school, and then they do always take them on one city trip to Yorkton so that they get to drive in a city and on the highway.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Nice. Mm-hmm. I think we're almost coming to the end here. Lindsay, did you have any other questions you wanted to ask?
No, I think Casey kind of answered it, but maybe just to press her a little bit more on it. You guys have a big picture. So even if your Gateway Economic Development Group doesn't have that defined yet, you as Casey, the Economic Development Officer for Mooseman, what would your big picture look like if you could just draw it yourself and snap your fingers and make it happen tomorrow?
I think more people, obviously. But more housing. We're kind of working on hopefully a new residential subdivision. So if that could happen, that would be really helpful. And then more daycare spaces, because that's somewhere where we struggle. We are we were approved for another 90 daycare spaces. So we're currently working on getting that built. It hasn't started yet because it's very expensive to build. So that would be another thing that if I could snap my fingers and it be here, that would be very helpful.
Oh, huge.
Well, that's actually really, you know, because we focus a lot on workforce and work opportunities, because that's what the number one thing you need in order to relocate is a job. So you bring up early childhood education, right? And that is really important. And there is such a high need for ECEs in our country overall. And again, daycare spaces as well, which leads to, you know, having to get more contractors to build. So I think there's going to be a lot. I know there's a lot of opportunity in your community. So I think you guys have done an amazing job so far. And we really look forward to seeing what Gateway Economic Development does in the future.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just to close off, I've got two more questions. Is there any advice you would give to anyone thinking about moving to Mooseman or a rural community? Things that they should do, you know, before they, let's say, just jump in, right?
I think maybe contacting someone in Moosman would be helpful just to know exactly what they're looking for. And I think most importantly, being open to the idea of living in Moosman, doing your research, finding out if it's something that suits you, the recreation, the daycare, the hospital, that kind of stuff. Make sure that it matches your lifestyle, because if it doesn't, and we don't want you to have a negative view of Moosman just because it didn't necessarily match what you're looking for. Mm-hmm.
Yes. 100%.
If they want to reach out to you, they could then.
Yep.
Excellent. Absolutely. Okay. We're going to make sure that. So if anyone is interested in moving to Moosman, Rokenville, that area of Saskatchewan, then definitely I think you guys should connect with Casey and she'll point you in the right direction in terms of where there's possible jobs, the housing availability, the daycare, everything that you kind of want to know. And I really love, Casey, that you said, make sure you do your research on where you live, because yes, I think that's very important. You got to love where you live, and opportunity is what you make it. And I think your town has everything that a lot of people would love to have.
Thank you.
100%. And so actually that sort of brings perfect to our next question. We're really trying to highlight, you know, rural restaurants or cool places. Is there somewhere in the Moosman area that you would recommend, even if someone's driving by in the number one, to stop and try, or an area to visit?
I think a lot of people, even across the country, know the Red Barn in Moosman. It's a chicken restaurant right on the highway. So many people know about it. It's a very good restaurant. But we do have lots of other good ones in Moosman, the Crate House, Cork and Bone, Witch's Brew. So, and we just opened, they just opened a brewery about a year ago. So that's kind of cool.
Okay. I think that's the one thing is that you have so many people passing by and everyone's just doing a quick stop. People need to take the time to come into town, right? Because there's so much more than what you see on the number one. Mm-hmm. And so if anything, I encourage everyone who's doing those summer trips this summer to actually stop, give yourself a couple hours in Moosman and really check it out. Like you said, try the restaurants, drive around, you know, stop by the economic development, right? This is that chance to kind of explore a great community and a great place to live.
Yeah, actually, I wrote about that a couple of years ago, about using your summer holidays, a road trip to explore small rural towns where you might want to relocate to. So yeah, Leah, I agree with you. It's a fabulous idea. You know, plan a trip out to Saskatchewan, take a road tour, spend a couple of nights, and that alone gives you kind of the vibe of what's happening in that town.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Well,
thanks, Casey.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Casey, for coming on today to talk about Moosman and everything that's going on there. Thank you to all of our listeners for listening. We encourage you to reach out to Casey, to look into Moosman, the opportunities in that area. We will have everything posted in our show notes, and we'll see you all next time.
Until then, live rural, live well.
If you feel this could assist other people like yourself, please like and share our podcast. As well, we will leave links below to the topics we spoke about today. Thank you for listening, and join us next time to learn about another great company and community that is a great place to work and settle.